Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Psalms, please. Chapter 119. The book of Psalms, chapter 119. If you weren't able to be here this morning, I would encourage you to get a copy of a CD, or you can go online. Our men work diligently to get the services online, and you can go to BibleWayOnline.net and listen in. And tonight's service or sermon will fit along with this morning's. So if you didn't get that this morning for some reason, then I'd encourage you to do that. Psalm 119 and verse number 25 tonight. The Bible said, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways. Thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness." This is where we're going to pick up tonight. "My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me the law, thy law, graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. The judgments, thy judgments, have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart." Let's pray for just a moment. Lord, we thank you tonight for the privilege to look into the Bible once again. And we pray this evening, Lord, that you will help us to glean from these verses of Scripture, Lord, that would just help us down the road a little farther. God, I pray for our people tonight. I know, Lord, that there's a lot going on in the lives of our precious people. And yet, Lord, I know that, God, you're able, Lord, to succor or to comfort those that are in any trouble. I pray, Lord, you'll do that tonight. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege to preach the Bible. God, I pray for Brother Andy in the church down there in Church Hill where he is tonight. I pray, God, you'd give him another good service, and God, that you would help him to be a help to those precious people. Lord, we know that yet a little while, he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Lord, help us till you come, Lord, to occupy that place of service that you've called us unto. God, will give you glory in Jesus' precious name. All of God's people said, amen. This morning, as we introduce the message, I'm not going to say a lot about it, but chapter 119 in the book of Psalms is broke up into the alphabet, the Hebrew alphabet, and there are 22 letters in that alphabet. Each section in Psalm 119 has 8 verses in that section. And the number 8 in the Bible, of course, represents the number of new beginning. And I want to thank God tonight that not only is there a new beginning when we're saved, and certainly that is a new beginning, but I'm glad his mercy and his grace, his faithfulness is new every day. And there are times and seasons in our life when we need a new beginning. And thank God that we read here in this psalm and these verses about David, some of the things that he's going through. And we want to look into this part tonight. He said, "When my soul melted for heaviness." This morning, I believe we called the sermon or the message, Deliverance from the Dust. And tonight we might call this message Deliverance from the Heaviness. It gets weighty at times. Life itself gets weighty at times. I was thinking today, my one-year-old granddaughter is already spoiled. Already. And I may have had something to do with that. I'm not sure. We were out there a while ago. Miss Eve stayed with me today. And Charity called. And I don't know how you do all that. But she's got it set up. She had to set it up on my phone and on Miss Eve's phone. And you can talk and see who you're talking to. And actually, I didn't plan it this way, but Miss Eve talked to Olivia for a little bit. And then she said, "You want to talk to Papa?" And actually, I was sitting there and I talked to her for a little bit. But the bad part about it is, after she talked to Papa, she didn't want to talk to Mama no more. And when she went back to talking to Mama, she went to throwing a fit. And I told Miss Eve, I said, "I've got to study. I'm going to get out of here. It's your baby now." Amen. You say, "Why did you say all that, preacher?" Because for Olivia, that was a problem today. She wanted to talk to Papa, and Papa had other things he needed to be doing. For Olivia today, that was a big problem. How many knows that'll be the least of her worries before long, whether or not she can talk to Papa? And life at times gets heavy. It gets weighty. And the psalmist here is experiencing that heaviness, deliverance from this heaviness. In Psalm 119, he said in verse 20, "My soul breaketh." In verse 25, we said this morning, "My soul cleaveth to the dust." Here he said, "My soul melteth." In Psalm 119 and verse 81, he cries out, "My soul fainteth." And in Psalm 119, 109, he cries out, "My soul is continually in my hand." And in Psalm 119 and verse 167, he said, "My soul hath kept thy testimonies." And then lastly, in Psalm 119 and verse 175, he said, "Let my soul live." And so David is putting the emphasis of what's going on down the inside of him, in that innermost being. It reminded me of Brother David Ring years ago when I had the privilege, I don't remember if it was through video or through television, but Brother Jerry Falwell used to have him on his program. And I got to hear Brother David preach several times. He had cerebral palsy. And if you've ever heard him preach, you'll never forget it. I mean, you will never, never forget it. And if you've ever heard him sing "Victory in Jesus," you'll never forget it. And if you can keep a dry eye while he's singing "Victory in Jesus," amen. I couldn't. I'll just put it like that. Amen. And neither could many of the people in the congregation as the cameras panned around. But Brother David, he preached a message that I'll never forget entitled, "I'm Not Okay and You're Not Okay." And what he meant by that, he used how that we greet one another. I might say, "How you doing, Brother Dwayne?" Brother Dwayne say, "I'm doing okay." "How you doing, Brother Rose?" "I'm doing okay." "How you doing, Brother Ralph?" "I'm doing okay." "How you doing, Brother Larry?" said, "I'm doing okay." And we do that a lot. That the psalmist is bringing out, there's stuff going on down on the inside. Down there where you can't see it. Down there where only the God of heaven can visit with a man in his soul. And Brother David preached that message, and he had on a fine suit and fine shoes. And I don't remember what all he did, but this part I remember. He got to preaching that message, "I'm not okay and you're not okay." He said, "Boy, we look good on the outside. We want to tell everybody we're okay, and we don't want anybody to see what's going on the inside." When he pulled his coat off, He had long sleeve shirt on that was literally shredded. See, he looked good. But on the inside, there was things going on that you couldn't see because of the way he was clothed on the outside. He pulled his shoe off, and I think they just took scissors and cut the whole first part of the front part of his sock off, because all of his feet, I mean the front part of his feet, all of his toes were sticking out. And his point was this: we can hide it from one another, but honey, when it gets heavy, it gets heavy. And you can't hide it from the God of heaven. He knows, amen. When we have that spirit of heaviness, when our soul melts for heaviness. In Joshua 7 and 5, the Bible said the heart of the people melted and became as water. You and I, before we leave this world, will face some circumstances that will just literally melt our heart like melting butter in a skillet. Amen. And God just wants to help us tonight to be able to be delivered, not necessarily from, but through that heaviness, because heaviness will come in the life of the believer. Tonight, I just have three simple things. I thought, Brother Ralph, be a good night just to have a short message, because y'all been here since 5 o'clock singing, amen? But I thought it'd be a good night just to give you a few thoughts, and we'll go to the house. Number one, when the soul is melting for heaviness, there needs to be a revival. There needs to be a revival. You say, preacher, what's being revived in this text tonight? Well, first of all, the psalmist's strength is being revived. He said in another place, he said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. When our heart gets heavy, sometimes all we see is that which is negative. All we see is that which is causing the load and causing the pain and causing the weight. But God wants us in revival to experience His strength. He said, my soul melted for heaviness. And then He said, strengthen thou me. In other words, God doesn't want us to faint when the load gets heavy. The Bible said, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. And God needs us to show this world that we live in that His strength is not small. Ours might be, but His strength will see us through it. Amen. Tonight, there needs to be a revival of strength. Secondly, there needs to be a revival of Scripture in our life. In verse 28, He said, strengthen thou me, but then He didn't finish there. He said, according unto thy word. If you look at verse number 29, the Bible said, grant me thy law. In verse number 30, thy judgments have I laid before me. In verse number 31, I stuck unto thy testimonies. In verse number 32, I will run the way of thy commandments. There needs to be a revival of strength. There needs to be a revival of Scripture in our lives. And thank God, there will be. But it'll be by the grace of God. Look in verse number 29, the second part here. He said, grant me thy law graciously. It's the grace of God we don't seek when we have that heavy load upon us. Amen. It's the grace of God that we can get up and go on. Not only will it be by grace if we make it and we have that revival in our heart, but in the first part of chapter number 30, it will be by choice. The Word of God said here, I have chosen the way of truth. I believe tonight, if you'll think for just a moment, you can think about someone that you know that chose, when the load got heavy, to go on with God. And you can think about others that you know that quit on God. They quit on God's word. They quit on God's house. They quit on God's people. They quit on God's purpose for their life. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out who's going to make it. Amen. For the glory of God, we can't afford to quit on God. Amen.
There needs to be a revival of strength, a revival of scripture. For the sake of alliteration, there needs to be a revival of Stickem. Look at verse 31. The Bible said, I have stuck unto thy testimonies. Listen to me, I'm not trying to brag on the church tonight, but I thank God that in the year 2016, there's still a church that's stuck by the stuff. Amen. I tell you what's the truth. I believe that ought to be the kind of church we're attracted to. My friend, not somebody that's changing with every wind of doctrine that's coming down the road. Not somebody that's changing, I mean, for this generation and for this society that we live in. But somebody needs to stay by the stuff and stick to the old way. Amen. Thank God. The psalmist said here, I have stuck unto thy testimonies. The word of God will show us the way. I read this today. I thought it was interesting. Postage stamps are getting more expensive, but at least they have one attribute that most of us could emulate. They stick to one thing until they get there. Glory to God. You know what I say? Let's stick to one thing till we get there. Let's stick to the Word of God. Amen. Every Sunday school teacher, stick to the Word of God. Every mom, every dad, every teenager, stick to the book until we get there. Amen. I believe that'll be a blessing. There needs to be a revival of strength, a revival of Scripture, and a revival of Stickem. Help us, Lord, to stick. Help us to stick. Secondly, in the message tonight, when my soul melts for heaviness and deliverance through this heaviness, this heavy spirit, not only does there need to be a revival, sometimes God, not always, and we can look in the mirror and ask these questions. We should never judge another. But sometimes God allows that heaviness to come in our life because there's something He wants us to remove from our life. There not only needs to be a revival at times, but sometimes there needs to be a removal. There needs to be something taken away. I can't help it. As Brother Brian taught this morning, as God helped me to prepare, lay aside every weight. A removal. That's what that is. That's a removal. Laying it aside. And the sin which does so easily beset us. I'll tell you tonight, how many knows that the flesh has no interest in removing anything? Honey, the flesh wants to stick to the things that the flesh likes. And it doesn't want anything removed. But I tell you, when a spirit of revival comes, there will be a spirit of removal that comes. I was not in the middle of all of this, but on the kind of the latter end, when there was a stirring and a revival among teenagers that were, they were bringing, the scripture came from over there in Acts where they brought their curious arts and they brought their books. And I can remember him taking a 55-gallon drum and starting a fire and throwing that rock and roll music and that garbage out of hell in it, amen, and letting it burn up like it ought to do. Just burn up. That's what it ought to do. But you know, never in this world would everybody get in on that. Anytime there's a revival, everybody won't get in on it because everybody doesn't want to experience removal in their life. You say, preacher, I don't see that in the text. Let me show it to you. The Bible said here in verse number 29, remove from me the way of lying. Now you might say, preacher, the psalmist is talking about lying. He's talking about a whole lot more than that. When he says the way of lying, there's a whole lot of things in that way. There's a whole lot of things that go that's contrary to a child of God. That's contrary to walking with God. And he said, remove from me the way of lying and grant me thy law graciously. I'm going to say this tonight. I'm not trying to be mean. But in this year, I think there are many that would like to draw nearer to God and nearer to God's word until God requires them to remove something in their life. And right there's where it stops. Am I right or am I wrong? We're all cut out of the same flesh. There ain't no use you looking at me like that. Amen. We know that's the truth. But if we want to go on with God and get closer to God, sometimes there's just something. Maybe it needs to be removed that's on the outside, but more than likely there's something needs to be removed out on the inside. The way of lying. There needs to be a revival. There needs to be a removal. But let me give you this, and I think this is kind of the thrust of the message tonight. Whenever there's a heaviness in our soul, a weight upon us, sometimes it's because of something going on spiritual. Sometimes it's financial. Sometimes it's physical. Amen. But I'm telling you, the weight will come for the child of God. There needs to be a revival, number one. There needs to be a removal, number two. And then God gave me this word, there needs to be a refusal. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look at it with me here. He said, I have chosen the way of truth. And then he said, I have stuck unto thy testimonies. And he said, I will run the way of thy commandments. Let me give you this. Three things God showed me right here. Number one, we need to refuse to give up on his word. He said, preacher, I don't feel like reading it. Join the crowd. He said, preacher, sometimes I get up and it just don't do for me what it used to do. Somebody help. Join the crowd. But there needs to be a refusal to give up, knowing that in time God will break through if we'll just stay with his word. He'll break through. He'll help us. There needs to be a refusal to give up on his word. And then the Bible said here, look at verse 31 in the second part. He said, O Lord, put me not to shame. There needs to be a refusal to give up on his will. Someone preached a message one time, and I don't know who it was, or maybe I heard a song. That's what it was. I heard a song entitled, Don't Give Up on the Brink of a Miracle. I'm telling you, lots of times, God's people give up too soon. We should not give up on his word. We should not give up on his will for our life. Don't give up on his will. Put me not to shame. What a shame it is when God's people give up on his will for their life. I remember Brother Rick talking to the pulpit committee. And I can remember like it was yesterday, this part of the conversation, when I looked at him and said, fellas, pray for me. I can't afford to miss God. So many people, Brother Ralph, they treat the will of God like it's just some little something or another. Honey, I'll tell you what's the truth. I don't want to be out of his will. I want to be in his will till he comes. Amen. I can't afford to miss God. The psalmist here, he was refusing to give up. He was going to stay with the book. He was going to stay with God and stay with his will. I read this. I hope it'll bless you the way it did me. From the diary of John Wesley. This is from John Wesley's diary. Anybody ever heard of him? God used the man greatly. Sunday, a.m., May the 5th. He preached in St. Anne's. He was asked not to come back anymore. I guess the Catholics didn't like him. Amen? Sunday, p.m., May the 5th. He preached in St. John's. And the deacon said, get out and stay out. Sunday a.m., May the 12th, he preached in St. Jude's. He said, can't go back there either. Sunday, May the 19th a.m., he preached in St., I don't get this, but it's what it said, St. somebody else's. I guess he couldn't remember who the saint was, so he just put down somebody else's. The deacons called a special meeting and said, I could not return. Sunday p.m., May the 19th, I preached on the street and was kicked off the street. Sunday a.m., May the 26th, I preached in a meadow and I was chased out of the meadow as a bull was turned loose during the service. He said, preacher, what are you trying to do? I'm trying to paint you a picture. I'll get to the rest of this. On a man that did not give up on God's will for his life. He just kept preaching the word of God. This is all in a month's time. Sunday a.m., June the 2nd. We started on May the 5th. Sunday a.m., June the 2nd, I preached out at the edge of town. Was kicked off the highway. Sunday p.m., June the 2nd, afternoon, preached in a pasture. 10,000 people came to hear me. Why? Because, praise God, there was a man that would not give up on God's word and would not give up on God's will for his life. Hallelujah. You all have read the story, and I can't go through all of it, but if you look at Abraham Lincoln's life, he ran for this and failed and ran for that and failed and ran for this and failed from the time he was about 20 till, thank God, at 52 he ran for president and was elected. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. There needs to be a refusal. We need to refuse to give up on God's word. We need to refuse to give up on God's will. And then thirdly, we need to refuse to give up on God's way. The psalmist David said, I will run the way of thy commandments. He said, preacher, I don't know how in the world you even figure out what's right and what's wrong. Help me. Right there is the only authority we've got to know what's right and what's wrong. How do you know what's God's way? Right there is all. That's it. And the psalmist said, I will run the way of thy commandments. There needs to be a revival. There needs to be a removal. There needs to be a refusal. Refuse to give up. There's a couple of things here that I wrote down. Number one, we need to keep a Bible handy. I will keep the way of thy commandments. I don't mean just to set a cup of coffee on either. I hope you don't do that, amen. But anyway, or just to impress somebody that walks in the room. We need to keep the Bible handy. We need to keep the Bible in our heart. But then not only do we need to keep the Bible handy, we need to keep a big heart. The Word of God said here, when thou shalt enlarge my heart. I read this and I'm going to read it to you and I'm done tonight. The great physician knows at once. He knows immediately where to look for the cause. When he sees anything that's wrong in the outward life of one of his people. He well knows that all spiritual disease is heart disease. And it is the heart, in the heart, where remedies must be applied. At one time, our physician sees symptoms which are violent in their nature. At another, he sees symptoms of languor and debility. But he knows that both come from the heart. And so, it is upon the heart that he operates when he is about to perform a cure. You say, preacher, I don't know what that's got to do with anything. Well, let me just break it down for you. If it weren't for the physician that operates on the heart, I would not be standing here tonight. I am not talking about just salvation. I am talking very much about what's going on in David's life. The process of sanctification. how that our God visits with us. Our God diagnoses us. By the way, I'm not saying this against the medical field, but they will tell you they don't always get it right. There are things that are very difficult to diagnose. But I'm telling you, the great physician always gets it right. He gets it exactly right. He's the one that can put his finger on the problem. He's the one that knows what we need, even before we ask. But he said to ask, and you shall receive. I believe there are times, like the psalmist David, our soul cleaves unto the dust. And I believe there are times when our soul melts for heaviness. And in both of those times, there's a Savior waiting in the shadows that you and I might come to the end of ourselves and run to Him, because He's the one that can help us. Amen. He's the one that can heal us. I've listened to testimonies of different ones in this church. Without the Lord, they'd have never made it. God is able. God is able. When we're unable, God is able. When our soul melts for heaviness, there needs to be a revival. There needs to be a removal at times. And there needs to be a refusal. You know what I believe we ought to do? Before the time ever comes, we ought to just take the word quit out of the equation. You say, I don't know how you can do that. I'll tell you one way you can do it. You can follow Jesus from Gethsemane to Calvary. By the time you get over there to Calvary, you'll be thanking God that He didn't quit. You'll be thanking God that He didn't turn around. And I believe you'll find strength to one more time put one foot in front of another and take another step for the glory of God Almighty. Let's pray together. Father, thank You tonight for our people. God, thank You that we have a purpose here in Bloomingdale, to be a light, to be an encouragement. God, there are people that need to be encouraged, people that need to know, Lord, that You're still in the healing business. You can heal that heart that's broken and heavy tonight. You can help us, Lord, this week. Dedicate ourselves afresh and anew to the Word of God. You can help us, Lord, this year. God, I pray tonight that You'd give us what the psalmist had when he said, I have stuck unto Thy testimonies. Lord, I believe we need to stick to Your testimonies, and I believe we need to let Your testimonies stick to us. David, in this same psalm, said, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. Help us, Lord, this evening.